With tears falling down her face and crying silently, she held her breath and clenched her teeth, desperately trying to control her emotions. "You suffer in silence," I said. She looked up at me in wonder. Her jaw was trembling. I asked her to open her mouth and breathe deeply. She did so, and soon started sobbing more and more loudly. The room was filled with her crying, and from time to time I reminded her to take a deep breath. After a while, Lila was overwhelmed with emotion and screamed loudly.
Welcome to the A Different Kind of Psychiatry podcast, brought to you by the ACO. I'm Dr. Chris Burritt. Each month, we feature a narrated article, case presentation, or interview or discussion with one or more of our doctors who practice a different kind of psychiatry. We're interested in your questions and comments, and I would love to hear your feedback. Send an email to aco@orgonomy.org. The best way to help the American College of Orgonomy spread its knowledge is by letting others know about us. If you enjoy the podcast, we'd appreciate you leaving a rating and review. If you're interested in attending one of our webinar presentations, you can meet the doctors and join in on the discussion afterwards. If you're interested in training with the ACO, you can learn more about the medical orgone therapy or social orgonomy training programs. You can connect with us and learn more at orgonomy.org. The Journal of Orgonomy is on Substack. Check out the link in the show notes to subscribe. Select articles from the journal will be available free of charge. This episode features a narration of the article, "The Briefest Treatment I Ever Provided," by Dr. Theodota Hassapi from the Journal of Orgonomy, Volume 55, Number 1. The article is a wonderful example of a rapid response to medical orgone therapy. Listen in to hear how Dr. Hassapi helped a newly married woman and her husband successfully manage a difficult emotional situation.
The Briefest Treatment I Ever Provided, by Theodota Hassapi, M.D. Narrated by Hilary Kale Crist. Introduction. Conventional modern psychiatry, in a contemporary mechanistic way, focuses on symptoms to make a diagnosis and on medication to relieve them, but fails to understand the emotional functioning of the individual. In contrast, medical orgone therapy offers a functional, real-world understanding of health, individual and social armoring, and character structure. The principles of treatment based on this understanding are powerful therapeutic tools. The following case illustrates a rapid response to medical orgone therapy. Lila and Philip. A young man, Philip, called and asked for an appointment for his wife, Lila. He sounded worried about her emotional condition. Although they were newlywed 3 months before, he told me he felt that his wife was not the woman he had married. She is not happy anymore. She has lost the sparkle of her life, her appetite and weight, wakes up in the night and cries silently. She saw a psychiatrist who diagnosed her with depression and prescribed medication, but she doesn't want to take them. "I'm not sick," she insists. "I cannot figure out what is going on. A friend told me about the psychotherapy you do without medication, and my wife agreed to visit you," he said. The next day, they were both sitting in my waiting room. What a nice couple, I thought. They looked in love, mutually attracted to each other. The husband, in his early 30s, an athletic, good-looking man, was holding his wife's hand with tenderness. His eyes looked worried, and his posture was of a strong, self-confident man. His wife was leaning her head on his shoulder. Although she was attractive, dressed in an elegant, feminine way, she looked troubled, her eyes dull, her skin pale. As soon as she saw me, she sat up straight and attentively in her chair and tidied her skirt. They introduced themselves, Philip and Lila. We shook hands. Philip's hand was strong and warm. Lila just offered me her hand like a princess. Her hand was soft, cold, wet with perspiration, and she greeted me kindly with a faint smile. I walked Lila into the treatment room. She sat in the armchair, making sure that the hem of her skirt was properly just above her knees. Her posture was seductive while also being demure. She looked sad and spoke in a soft voice. She told me she was an architect, 27 years old, and recently married 3 months before. She was looking forward to starting work on a very challenging project in a famous architectural office in a couple of months. She also told me she adored her husband and that they married after 3 years of a love relationship. She was now thrilled to move in together and create and decorate the home of her dreams with him. As she was talking, she became tearful. "It's okay to cry. This is a safe place to let go," I told her softly. Handing her a tissue box, I showed her a basket half filled with used tissues. With tears falling down her face and crying silently, she held her breath and clenched her teeth, desperately trying to control her emotions. "You suffer in silence," I said. She looked up at me in wonder. Her jaw was trembling. I asked her to open her mouth and breathe deeply. She did so, and soon started sobbing more and more loudly. The room was filled with her crying, and from time to time I reminded her to take a deep breath. After a while, Lila was overwhelmed with emotion and screamed loudly. Soon she hit her limit of tolerance for this intense emotion, and she became short of breath. Her eyes seemed to go out of focus with an expression of dullness, almost staring. She looked out of it, disconnected, losing connection with herself and her surroundings, even though she was still screaming. "This all sounds very tragic," I commented in a loud voice, imitating her dramatic tone, which she heard over her screaming. She immediately stopped screaming and looked at me. Her eyes became brighter and more focused, her cheeks red. She looked very alive and radiant. "What is going on?" I asked softly. In a passionate voice, Lila started revealing the stressful situation she was living in. She told me that their honeymoon had been wonderful, heavenly. After that, their first month as husband and wife was quite satisfying and joyful. But in the second month of their marriage, her father-in-law died suddenly of a heart attack. It was a shock for all of them. Philip was an only child, and to support his mother as she mourned, he invited her to their home. The first week was okay. Being together helped them all to cope with the loss. A week later, the mother-in-law returned to her own home. However, since then she began to visit them every day. Lila felt that day after day her mother-in-law took all of her territory. She cooked, tidied up the house, and worst of all, constantly sought out and monopolized Philip's attention. Lila felt devastated by the whole situation and didn't see any sign that it was going to end. She felt helpless and hopeless. "Did you talk about these things with Philip?" I asked. "I don't want to hurt his feelings," she said in a low voice, looking down in desperation. She was firmly holding a tissue full of tears. "What about your feelings? Where are they?" I asked, pointing at her clenched fists. She looked at her fists and then at me with a sparkle in her eyes, a look of becoming aware, of realizing the holding back of what she was feeling. She said in a loud voice, "I wish she were dead. Yes, there are times that I wished her dead. I felt guilty afterwards, but now I don't." Her voice sounded angry, and her eyes and whole face looked enraged. 2 days ago, she was in our home. Where else could she be?" she said bitterly. And she heard Philip's keys in the door. Philip was returning home after a long day at work. She rushed to the door, opened it, opened her arms to embrace and welcome him, talking to him in a loud voice, addressing him with exaggeratedly adoring, "My handsome boy, my hard-working only child," and so on. Philip was caught by surprise. I'm the one who usually welcomes him back home, so he took a step back. But then, of course, he responded to her and then hugged me. But she didn't wait a second. In a loud voice, she started telling him, "What have I cooked for my boy? Surprise! your favorite meal and dessert. Come on, my boy, I'm going to serve you dinner." Philip then followed her hesitantly to the dining room. I did as well. She didn't even look at me, at all. Neither did she speak to me, at all, as if I had vanished, as if I didn't exist. Of course I couldn't eat that night. I didn't sleep at all. I was crying silently, trying not to wake up Philip. "Your anger turned into crying," I noted. "Right," she said, looking at me with a sparkle of becoming aware. "My rage has turned into sadness." "Exactly," she said, becoming even more aware how angry she was. She recalled several occasions like this, where she was angry but didn't speak up out of wanting to maintain her dignity. She cried instead. "What if I invite Philip to come in? Would you like to talk to him about your feelings?" Leela looked at me in surprise. For a moment, she hesitated. "In my presence," I added. She nodded. "Yes." So here they are sitting, one next to the other, opposite to me. Philip looked at me. "I'm very sorry for your loss," I said. "Leela wants to talk to you about a very stressful situation she is going through." He was now attentively looking at Leela, listening intently to her. Leela started telling him about her feelings and how the everyday presence of his mother affected her. She had barely said three sentences and Philip got it. He pressed his hand strongly on the armchair, stood up vigorously and declared in a loud voice, "I'm married to my wife and not to my mother. If Leela doesn't want her in our home, she will not be coming again." We both looked at him with surprise. Leela took a deep breath and made a loud sound of relief, as if she had unloaded tons of repressed emotions. A broad smile of delight lit up her face. "Please don't hurt her feelings," she said in a low voice. "Leave it to me," he said with self-confidence. "She is my mother. I know how to handle her." Then he looked at me. "Is that all, doctor?" "For now, yes," I replied. I asked Leela to give me a call in a week. They embraced each other and left my office. A week later, I received a telephone call from Leela. She sounded vibrant and happy. She thanked me warmly and said how transformative her session with me had been. It was a unique experience for her to become aware of how she held back her emotions and avoided expressing them. Her husband's immediate response let her see that he was truly on her side and that she could rely on him. She trusted and respected him even more. They overcame a serious problem together, and this led to a deepening of their relationship. "Joy has returned to our home. All my symptoms have disappeared. Life is much easier whenever I express my feelings." And that's the briefest treatment I've provided as a medical orgonomist. Discussion. Contact, the emotional energetic contact between the therapist and the patient, is a prerequisite for and a powerful tool in medical orgone-therapy. In this particular case, observation of the couple's interaction, mutual attraction, and the way Leela presented herself and handled her emotions made possible a diagnosis of hysterical character very early in her session. And her somatic and character armoring was obvious. Both allowed for the interruption of her tragic emotional display. Furthermore, the functional identity of a defensive character trait, being decent, and a cultural value, respect for her mourning mother-in-law and to not hurt her feelings, were anchored in her psychic symptoms. Pointing these out to her enabled her to viscerally experience and express her emotions, and then to talk forthrightly to her husband when he was invited in a timely moment into the treatment room. Their mutual attraction and love relationship, embodied in his immediate response, further helped her to resolve her conflict and regain her healthy functioning.
How do you feel after listening to this story? What do you think? I was impressed with Dr. Hasapi's immediate understanding of her patient and ability to connect with her, but also Leela's ability to face her feelings and Philip's ability to respond so well to his wife's needs. The best way to help the ACO spread its knowledge is by letting others know about us. I hope you share this podcast with your friends and family and let them know about our work. You can connect with us at orgonomy.org. I'm Dr. Chris Burritt. Thank you for listening to the A Different Kind of Psychiatry podcast brought to you by the ACO. Since 1968, the psychiatrists affiliated with the American College of Orgonomy have been helping patients discover greater satisfaction, health, and overall well-being in their lives. Whether patients suffer with mental illness, struggle with addiction, or feel unsatisfied with their work lives or relationships, medical orgone therapy, as practiced by the physicians at the ACO, offers a way forward, often without the use of medication.